As I mentioned earlier, it's my privilege to invite up a dear brother who's been a friend of this church for many years, Pastor Sharath. Pastor Sharath serves in India, but he makes trips to the United States somewhat frequently to share the progress of the work that he's doing and to keep the relationships alive. And so we're blessed to have him this morning. He's going to share a little bit about his family and update us there, and then he's going to bring us a word from the Lord from the Scriptures. So let's make Pastor Sharath feel welcome this morning.
Praise the Lord. First of all, I am so thankful to the Lord for this opportunity to come to this nation. And also, I am so thankful to our dear Pastor Stephen and the leadership of Greenville Baptist Church and the members of the church for this opportunity. And I am also thankful to my friends Martins for introducing me to the Greenville Baptist Church. Whenever I come to the Greenville, I feel Greenville is my home, because I am in relationship with this church for 20 years. So during my visits, many of you hosted me in your homes. I'm so thankful to you. And thank you for the supports for the ministry in India. Before I share about the ministry, since I said it's like my family, I would like to share a few things about my family. So back in India, I have a family. The Lord has blessed me with 3 children. So me and my wife, we were married around 30 years. So God has blessed us with 3 boys. My oldest son is 28 years old, and he's a medical doctor, and we are planning a marriage in the month of December. So it's a big thing for me, because I have to choose a girl for him. So in India we have arranged marriages. So I have been searching for the girls for the past 2 years. So I think it will be done by December. So you can pray about that. So we are planning to have a wedding. So the wedding in India is a big thing. So thousands of people come. So the number, maybe I'm expecting 3,000 people. So because this is a big celebration, so the marriage is a life event. And we have to choose very carefully, because it's a lifetime decision. So me and my wife, we have been praying for years for my son, so that the Lord may lead to the right person, to the right family. So my second son, by the grace of God, he got an opportunity to come to the United States to have his education in Erie, Pennsylvania. So this year in January, by the grace of God, he got admission in the university. Now he is in Erie. Before I come over here, I stayed with him a few days. But thank God, God has brought him over there to be his witness. Because many Indian students are there in that university. Most of them, they do not know anything about the Lord. Before I come, the night before I come over here, God opened the door for me to minister to the Indian students. They are there in that room. I'm so grateful for that. And I told my son, because he is saved and he loves the Lord. And I told him, God has brought you over here to be his witness to these people from India. So my third son, he's back in India. He's in the dental school. He wants to become a dentist. So that's about my family. And about the ministry, thank God and praise God for what he is doing in the land of India and especially in our church. And I am so thankful to the Lord. And the church is growing day by day. And in our church, we have men's prayer meeting every Tuesday. Around 30 men come for prayer. It is very, very difficult to get men in India to come for prayer. It's very difficult. And also they won't say much. They're very, very reserved. If you want somebody to pray, they may pray for a couple of seconds. That's it. So it's very difficult. But even the couple of seconds of prayer, the Lord is answering. And we have men's prayer. It's going every... The men look for the Tuesday, every Tuesday morning, between 5 and 6, the men come and we have a prayer. And we are reaching out the people in different ways. Recently, one of the ways we are reaching out the Hindu families is, we started a tailoring training center. I named the tailoring training center Tabitha Tailoring Training Center, because in the above word we see the about the Dorcas. Dorcas' name is Tabitha. Tabitha, she sew the clothes. So that's the name we gave. And our intention was to reach the Hindu homes with the gospel. So this year, the course will go for 6 months, and we enrolled 15 women. These 15 women, whenever they come to the school for learning the tailoring, so they have half hour devotion. So during that half hour devotion, they will be taught about Jesus Christ. And then they will go and minister to their families. That is our strategy, to go into the Hindu homes. That's how we are reaching out the people. In different ways, we are reaching out with the gospel, because the motto of the Ministry of Gospel Fellowship of India is piercing the darkness with the light of the gospel. Piercing the darkness with the light of the gospel. The entrance of the word giveth the light. The entrance of the word giveth the light. Me, my family, my caste, we received the gospel through the missionaries. If the missionaries didn't come, if we did not receive the gospel, we still be considered as the untouchable community of India. But thank God for the glorious gospel. Thank God for the glorious gospel that reached us, that reached me, my village, my community. As a result of that, we are delivered from the bondage of the superstitious religions. Thank God. That's how we are reaching out the people. God is doing amazing things. And before I start, I would like to give a testimony what the Lord has done in my family. Before I come to the United States, 10 days before my travel, my wife said she had pain on the back of her left lung. So we thought of going to the hospital. So we went to the hospital. The doctor advised us to go for an X-ray. So we took the X-ray. When the doctor saw the X-ray was so disturbing. The doctor advised us to go for a scanning. So we went for a scanning. And the doctor suspected there is a possibility of tuberculosis in the lungs and a cancer in the left lung. So we were sad. And we were astonished. Why? Why this happened to us? And we came back. So for scanning, I have to, for a biopsy test, I have to go 12 hours bus ride to another city. So we came back. Before we take the bus ride, we had a prayer meeting in our church. Every Saturday we have a fasting prayer meeting. So I was in the fasting prayer meeting. The Lord was inspiring me to pray for my wife by anointing with the oil. So after the meeting was over, I asked my wife to come and sit on the chair. So she came, and I took the oil, and some of the believers stood around, and we started praying and pouring out the oil upon her head. Because in the word we will see, if anyone is sick, let him call the elders of the church so that they can anoint the person with oil, and the prayer of faith will heal that man. So basing on that scripture, so we prayed. After the prayer was over, so me and my wife, we were walking on the road to go to my house. So while we are on the way, my wife said to me, the pain was little bit gone. She did not say it's fully gone. I'm feeling better. I said, thank God. Then I said, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the weak say, I am strong. The book of Joel, chapter 3, verse 10. That let the weak say, I am strong. What you are in Christ is your true identity. What the circumstances make you is not your true identity. Because you are in Christ, you are perfect. You are in Christ, you are new generation. You are in Christ, you are whole. So let us confess that. So we started confessing that one, and we have gone. We want to make sure with the doctor what is happening. So we went for the tests. So all the tests were taken, and the outcome is there was no tuberculosis, no cancer. Praise God. Praise God. We are serving a great God. A great God. We have a great doctor. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God. So, before I get into the word, I would like to extend my invitation to the Greenville Baptist Church to visit India and minister to our people. There is an open invitation to the Greenville Baptist Church, Pastor. So the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. I'm reading from New International Version. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed. And I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. This is what Paul was writing to one of his sons in the faith, Timothy. This epistle is the last epistle of Paul. Before he died, he gave some profound statements in this epistle. Here in this verse, chapter 12, I would like to draw your attention to some of his statements. One of it is, he is saying that, I know whom I believed. He is not saying, I know what I believe, but he is saying, I know whom I believe. So before he believes in him, he had lots of beliefs in his religion. He had belief in his institution. He had a belief in the law. He had a belief in his religion. But here he is saying that, now I believe in him. So he had faith in the person, not in the principle. He had a belief in the person. Many a times people believe the principles and leave the person. The principle may work for you, but the important thing is the person is important. The father of the nation India is Mahatma Gandhi. While he was alive, he read the Sermon on the Mount. He was so impressed with the Sermon on the Mount. He wanted to put in practice the principles what Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount. And he put in practice the principle of non-violence. And he put in practice of the principle of non-violence. As a result of that, we got independence. So many a people, they believe in the principle and they do not pay attention to the person. So here Paul was talking to Timothy, and he is saying that, I believe, I know whom I believe. We need to believe the person Jesus Christ. What is about Jesus Christ? Many a times people did not understand who Jesus is, who he is. Our understanding may be limited. So we need to understand who Jesus is. When we understand who Jesus is, that really transforms our lives. So when Jesus was alive, he was asking his disciples, what do the people think about me? The disciples answered, some people think that you are the prophet. Some people think you are John the Baptist. Then Peter said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then Jesus said, Father in heaven revealed this truth to you. So who Jesus is summed up in that statement. You are Christ. You are Christ. He did not say you are Jesus. You are Christ. So Jesus is Christ. When you think about Christ, it is a title. It is not his name. It's a title. Christ in Hebrew is called Messiah. Messiah. Messiah means the one who has sent with authority to fulfill a purpose. He was sent from the Father and he came for a purpose. He came with a purpose. Jesus had a purpose. The purpose of Jesus is to redeem the mankind. He is Messiah. Not only redeeming the mankind, He also came to rule, to establish His kingdom in the hearts of the people, to establish His kingdom on the earth. You are Christ. You are Christ. Many a times we understand Jesus as our Savior, but He is Messiah. He saved us for what? To rule in our hearts, in our lives. So when this truth was revealed by the Father to Peter, Jesus said, "Peter, you are blessed. I will build my church upon this rock. Upon this rock. The gates of hell will not prevail before this church, in front of this church." We have to be built upon this rock. This rock is the person Jesus Christ. The person Jesus Christ. We have to stand on the person Jesus Christ. So in Him only we have the redemption of our sins. In Him. In Him. So we have to believe, we have to have our faith in the person Jesus Christ. When our lives were built upon this rock, the gates of hell will not prevail. The gates of hell means the plans and the strategies of enemy will not prevail. Praise God. Praise God. So Paul was talking to Timothy and he's saying, "I know whom I believe." Whom I believe. When you believe in the person, when you believe in the person, you will see great things. I was reading the book of John, chapter 4, we will see Samaritan woman. This Samaritan woman, every day she comes to the well to get the water to quench her thirst. Every day she comes. One day she met Jesus at the well. And Jesus said, "If you know the gift of God, and if you know the one who is speaking to you, you will ask Him the living water. He will give the living water." She was so excited. "Okay, if I have that living water, I don't need to come again. So please give me. What is that living water? How could she get that living water?" Jesus was talking. "If any man thirst, let him come unto me. The one who believes in me, out of his belly flow the rivers of the living water." Out of his belly flow the rivers of the living water. In one translation, it says, out of the womb, out of the womb shall flow the rivers of the living water. When the living water flow, the trees beside the living water, the leaves of the trees beside the living water will be used to heal the people. Praise God. To heal the people with the leaves. Church is a womb from this, the waters of the living water flow and touch the people in order to bring healing. Praise God. So if you believe, those who believe in me, they have this living water. They need not come again and again. They need not be addicted. They will be satisfied with the living water. So Paul was talking, I know whom I believe. I believe in Jesus. I believe the person. I don't believe the religion. I don't believe the principles, but my belief is in him. I believe in the person. So Paul was talking here, I know who I believe. When you believe him, you need to know him. You need to know him. Paul was saying, I know whom I believe. I know in whom I have faith. I know who he is. I know. So we need to know. The word know has a rich meaning. I would like to read another scripture, the book of Genesis, chapter 4, verse 1. You may be wondering why I am reading this scripture, because it's a strange scripture in connection with what we are meditating. Chapter 4, 1. Adam lay with his wife, Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. So I read from New International Version. In a different version, we will see when Adam knew his wife. Knowing is indicating us intimate relationship, intimacy with the person, intimacy with the person. So Paul was saying that, I know he had an intimate relationship. He had intimacy with whom he is believing. So we need to have that kind of intimacy. So when he is saying that, I know, that means he experienced who he is. He experienced. In the book of Peter, we will see Peter was talking. Peter says, taste and see that the Lord is good. He didn't say no and find. But he said, taste and see. Taste and see. We need to taste him. We need to eat him. People in the days of Jesus, they did not understand. Jesus was talking, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you do not have life in you. When Jesus said that, they said, how can we hear this kind of teaching? This is a horrible word. How can a man eat man? They did not understand the spirit behind what the Lord said. We can taste him. We can see how tastier he is by faith in him. Praise God. By faith in him, we can taste, we can experience Jesus Christ. We can experience him. Many a times, we know him. We didn't experience him, but that he is saying that I experienced what he is. So we can experience his resurrection power in our lives. This is the desire of Paul. In the book of Philippians chapter 3, we will see his life desire. I want to experience the resurrection power of Jesus. So that is the reason I count everything lost. His desire was to experience the power of the Lord in his life. In India, if the people do not see the power of the Lord, they don't come. So, the Lord whom we are serving is not the millions of gods the people serving. Their gods are powerless. The God whom we all serving is a powerful God. And we can use the power, and the power can flow through us to the people. So we need knowing his resurrection power. So how can this resurrection power work in our lives? I would like to read a scripture, the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 11. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. He's saying that the spirit who resurrected Jesus from the dead, the same spirit lives in you and give life to your mortal bodies. I don't think it will happen at the end when the Lord was returning, when the people were resurrected from the tomb. I don't think he is talking about that. Even Paul's desire was, he wanted to experience the power, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ while he is on the earth. So the same power will live in us and we can experience that power. So how can he live? How can this power live? Through the Spirit. He's saying through his Spirit who lives in you. How can we get this spirit? Again, I would like to read another scripture. The book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 5. Does God give you his spirit and work miracles? When you have the Spirit activates in you and help you to experience the miraculous power of the Lord in your life. Among you, because you observe the law, or because you believe, because we believe in Jesus, that is how we receive the Spirit in us, and the Spirit in us will do the miracles, and with the Spirit who lives in us bring life to our mortal bodies. I understand like this. As we are growing up, some of the body parts may not function. And I believe that the spirit lives in us will give life to those, the parts. The spirit will give the life to those parts. Praise God. So knowing the Lord means knowing His power. Knowing the Lord means experiencing His faithfulness. Experiencing His faithfulness. His faithfulness endureth forever. He is faithful all the time. His faithfulness is not depending upon our faithfulness towards Him. Even though we are unfaithful, but the Lord is faithful. Why? The Lord is faithful because He has promised. He has promised to our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He has promised to our forefathers. Because of His promise, because we are the children of God through the faith in Jesus Christ. We are the children of Abraham through the faith in Jesus Christ. Only through faith in Jesus Christ we can get into the family of faith. The family of faith is Abraham's family because of Jesus Christ only. Jesus is the main central point, my friends. Without Jesus, we cannot inherit any of His promise. Any of His promise. We cannot inherit only because of Jesus Christ. Many a times we claim the healing promise. The Lord revealed Himself that He is Jehovah Rapha. When the people of Israel, when they were in the journey, the Lord said, if you keep all of My statutes, if you keep all of My commands, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And there will not be any disease which is upon the Egyptians come upon you, because I am the Lord that healeth thee. Many a times we claim, but are we able to keep all of His commandments? No. So how can we inherit? Because of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Because Jesus, on behalf of me, He fulfilled all the law and made me a heir for the promises of the law. This is a great promise, my friends. God is promising us no disease which was upon the Egyptians will not fall on you. What a great authority the Lord has given to us. I would like to give an example. This was maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago. People were very much worrying about the disease Ebola. In the newspaper in India, I read the news. They were talking about India is the country which is very much prone to receive the Ebola. And they were talking if Ebola breaks out in India, because of the huge population of India, they do not know what will happen to that country. And India is not ready to face this disease. When I was reading that, Lord, what shall I do? What shall I do? The Lord said, you have an authority. You can seal your country borders. You can seal the borders of your country, not Ebola to come into your country. Me? I am from a small village. What can I do? Many a times we think like that. Friends, I tell you, You're not an ordinary person. The creator of this universe is in you. Is in you. So I alerted our church. So why don't we pray? We seal the borders of our country. Let the disease not break out in our nation. So we prayed. We prayed and we sealed the borders of the country with the precious blood of Jesus. Thank God, no Ebola in India. I believe that. I believe that. God answered the prayer. I believe that. So let, the Lord was talking. I did not allow any the disease which is upon the Egyptians will come upon you. This is a great promise. This is a great promise, my friends. So he is faithful. He is faithful. Even though we are unfaithful, the one who has called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, he is so faithful. Experience the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. I experience, my friends, every day I experience in my life. We have the same kind of testimony as the children of God. We are experiencing his faithfulness. Knowing God is experiencing his goodness. His goodness. What a good God we serve. What a good God we serve. Jesus is good. He is full of good. Except Jesus, there is no good man. Only Jesus is good. The gods and goddesses, they are evil. Only Jesus is good. We experienced the goodness of Jesus. Before I come over here, I have to do a wedding. This was a monsoon season for us. The wedding was on Thursday, and there was continuous rains from Monday. We don't have any auditoriums. We have to do everything outside. Continuous rains until Wednesday. I was asking the Lord, Lord, we want to experience your goodness. At the wedding of Cana, it was written that Lord Jesus manifested his glory. Manifested his glory. The people at the wedding of Cana, they experienced the glory of God. The glory means the goodness. When Moses asked God, show forth your glory to me, the Lord answered, I will show forth all of my goodness. All of my goodness. So the scripture came to me, Lord, we would like to see your goodness in this wedding. On Thursday, there is no single drop of rain. And I was doing the marriage, and I was on the platform. Hundreds of people are there. Then I said, people from different faiths are there. I told the people, you know, there is no rain because Lord Jesus is a good God. How many of you would like to worship him? Everybody stood up and they raised their hands and we started worshiping the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. So experiencing his goodness. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste. Taste him. Bite him. Eat him. Through faith. Through faith. Praise God. Paul, I know whom I believe. Because I experienced him, he's saying that I am convinced that he will guard whatever I entrusted to him. He is able to guard what I have entrusted to him. He said, I entrusted to him. If you ask Paul, Paul, what did you entrust to him? We do not have any answer for that. If we read in the scriptures, Jesus, when he was dying on the cross, he said, Lord, I commit my spirit to you. He entrusted his spirit. Stephen, he entrusted his spirit. We can entrust our whole being to him. Lord, I know you are able to guard me, my body, my mind, my soul, my spirit. You are able to guard. We can entrust our children to the Lord. We can entrust our possessions to the Lord. No experience him every day. Know more and more Jesus. Not about Jesus. Jesus it's himself. Know more and more. Thank you very much, friends.